I got into podcasting because I love audio. In the beginning, I never thought I'd be on this side of the microphone. I owned plenty of them, but they were, you know, for other people to use, people with talent. Me, I just wanted to record the talent, edit the audio, compose the music, futz around with sound effects, mix and master and do all the knob-twiddling, sonic mangling that makes a flat recording come alive. But talking about talent, there is one man who had it in spades. Mel Blanc, the voice behind Woody the Woodpecker, Barney Rubble, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Wile E. Coyote, Pepe Le Pew, Tweety Bird, Sylvester, Speedy Gonzales, Yosemite Sam, Elmer Fudd, Foghorn Leghorn, the Tasmanian Devil, Marvin the Martian, Captain Caveman, and of course, Bugs Bunny. That's talent. And if I think back to any given day from my childhood, I probably had Mel Blanc screaming, shouting, bellowing, cooing, wisecracking, snickering, yammering, clucking, squeaking, and squawking in my ear. The man is a legendary voice actor who single-handedly defined a very particular genre of audio, the cartoon voiceover. And there's no one I can think of better suited to talk about the magnificent sounds that came out of Mel's mouth than Dallas Taylor, host of the very good and very award-winning podcast, 20,000 Hertz. 20,000 Hertz is a beautiful, well-crafted podcast that I just fell in love with when I first heard it. It's a marriage of everything I love most about podcasting, history and audio, telling the stories behind the world's most recognizable and interesting sounds. And on today's Saturday matinee, we are featuring the first episode of a two-part series on Mel Blanc from 20,000 Hertz. So shh, be very quiet and listen. You're going to enjoy this one. Afterward, be sure to search for and follow 20,000 Hertz for part two. We put a link in the show notes to make it easy for you.
You're listening to 20,000 Hertz.
What's up, Doc?
Hey, you're pretty good, Fred.
You're despicable.
Jetson, I thought I fired you.
I thought I drew a pussy cat.
Say a prayer.
That's all, folks.
All of the voices you just heard came from the same person.
It's a pleasure to welcome Mr. Mel Blanc.
What's up, David?
Mel Blanc is a voice acting legend.
I worked in 5,000 different cartoons. And actually, I do about 400 different voices.
Mel Blanc was the greatest voice artist that ever lived. His range was full 8 octaves. His ear was unbelievable. His ability to hear a dialect was uncanny. And he was the kindest, gentlest man you'd ever know.
That's Noel Blanc, Mel's son.
And what do? Produce commercials and films and do a lot of the voices that my dad did.
Here's Noel as Elmer Fudd in Family Guy.
Shh, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Everyone in animation agrees that Mel Blanc was unique and completely changed the industry. His voices helped create iconic cartoon franchises that are still going strong today. Even from a young age, Mel loved doing voices. He was totally the class clown. But even though Mel clearly had immense talent, his first job wasn't even as an actor.
He was a musician. He played various music on trumpet, on tuba, on violin, and piano. At 17 years old, he was conducting the major orchestra out of Portland.
A few years later, he met his soon-to-be wife, Estelle Rosenbaum. They eventually started a radio show together in Portland called Cobweb and Nuts.
They were paid $15 a week total for the two of them. So they were pretty well starving up there, and then that's when they decided to come down to Los Angeles.
Estelle encouraged Mel to pursue his dreams of acting. He knew just the place that needed his specific talents. This clip is from the documentary Mel Blanc, The Man of 1,000 Voices.
I had seen some of the Warner Brothers voices in the cartoons, and I thought, geez, they're missing out on an awful lot. The voices are pretty bad.
Even though Mel is now famous for Porky Pig, he actually wasn't the first person to play the character. Here's the original voice.
Listen, my children, and you shall hear the midnight ride.
Mel was convinced he could do better. So, like clockwork, Mel went to Warner Brothers every 2 weeks. And he was rejected over and over again by the person responsible for hiring voice actors.
I said, I'd like to audition for you and show you what I can do. He says, I'm sorry, we've got all the voices we need.
But after 2 years of persistence, Mel knocked on Warner Brothers' door at the perfect time. The person who kept rejecting him just happened to be homesick.
The next fellow in line happened to be the sound effects engineer for the Warner Brothers cartoons.
He says, well, let me hear what you do. So I auditioned for him, and he got a big kick out of it. He said, would you do it again for the directors? I said, gladly.
And they loved him and said, what are you doing next week? And of course, Mel wasn't even working. And he said, well, I don't know. I think I can make it.
Mel's first Warner Brothers cartoon was Picador Porky, but he wasn't Porky Pig. He was Porky's unnamed drunk friend.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, playing on the old guitar. La cucaracha, playing any place you are.
The Warner directors recognized Mel's talent immediately. And when Porky Pig's original actor was fired from the role, they offered it to Mel. He didn't take this opportunity for granted. Mel went as far as to travel to a pig farm to research how he could make Porky sound even more like a pig.
I come back, I said, if a pig could talk, he'd talk with a grunt, you know.
That's what Porky talked, with a grunt.
Mel's debut of Porky Pig came in the 1930s.
Don't worry, it's not loaded. We'll watch.
The cartoon was called Porky's Duck Hunt. It introduced one of Mel's other famous characters, Daffy Duck.
Oh, don't let it worry you, Skipper. Oh, I'm just a crazy darn fool duck.
Porky and Daffy helped make Mel and Warner Brothers famous. But one of Mel's creations is clearly king.
They showed me a picture of this little rabbit, and he's going to say, hey, what's cooking? I said, instead of him saying, hey, what's cooking, why don't you have him say, yeah, what's up, Doc? That's the new expression that was being so popular. And I said, why don't you name him after the guy who drew the first picture of him? His name was Bugs Hardaway. Why don't you call him Bugs Bunny?
Mel first appeared as Bugs Bunny in a 1940s cartoon called A Wild Hare.
Well, they told me that Bugs was a tough little stinker, and I thought, what kind of a voice can I give him? The tough character, maybe Brooklyn of the Bronx.
So I put the two of them together, Doc, and that's how Bugs Bunny came out.
What's up, Doc?
In that first appearance as Bugs, the character had big teeth way outside his mouth and sort of a long face. Today, Bugs has smaller teeth, and they're closer to his mouth, and he has a rounder face. When the animation changed, Mel changed Bugs' voice to match. Here's Mel's son, Noel, again.
Bugs was a different kind of voice. That instead of going, what's up, Doc? They had big teeth. And so it sounded like this. You heard of early cartoons. What's up, Doc? It's a totally different kind of a voice until they move the teeth back into the mouth.
Now, don't spread this around. But confidentially, I am a wabbit!
The process of forming a new character always started with the art.
First, they would show me a picture of the character that they wanted to use in the cartoon. Then they would show me what they call a storyboard. This is what this character is going to do throughout the cartoon.
After Mel looked at the art and storyboards, he would do a little research about the character's animal. When he landed the role of Daffy Duck, he did a bit of bird watching.
Actually, that's where he picked up Daffy Duck's voice, because Daffy Duck, that spray... is a spray. It's not a lift. A lift is this. It's a spray. Well, if you've seen the ducks land in the water, they get a lot of water in both orifices.
Listen, sport. You don't know the meaning of fair play.
Daffy Duck sounds a bit similar to another iconic character, Sylvester the Cat. But there's one key difference. Daffy is spraying water out of his mouth. Sylvester is drooling over a little yellow canary that he wants to eat so badly.
Sylvester, which is the lower sprayer down here, is just salivating because of Tweety. So they're not lisping, they're salivating.
I never thought just being a pussycat could get so complicated.
Mel traveled all the way to Australia to find the voice for the Tasmanian devil.
When he was in Tasmania, in Hobart, they have a wonderful zoo in the main city there. And he visited the Tasmanian devil in the zoo and realized that the Tasmanian devil devoured everything in front of him.
Here's what actual Tasmanian devils sound like. They're notorious for how aggressively they eat. And here's how Mel interpreted those sounds. Mel's also famous for the voice of Tweety Bird.
I thought I saw a putty cat. I did saw a putty cat.
From the start, people adored Mel's characters, but their popularity really soared in the 1940s.
The major thing that sold Bugs Bunny to the public was a two-minute song on buying bonds, and those at that time were war bonds. And he and Elmer Fudd and Porky Pig sang the song, "Any bonds today?
Bonds of freedom, that's what I'm selling, any bonds today."
Every theater between every performance, and this is, again, where 50 million people a week are going to the theater or more, and that's how really they became popular.
Any bond today?
Mel's characters were so popular that he asked for a raise. But instead of more money, Warner Brothers countered with something no other cartoon voice actor had at the time. That was his name featured in the credits. That meant his name got out there, and other studios wanted to hire him.
He was doing 18 radio shows a week at one time. And so he would run from CBS to NBC to ABC, which were very close there. So he'd come on, he'd know exactly the characters he was doing, whether it was the Abbott and Costello show.
What's up, Doc? What's cooking, Fetcho?
Costello, look, it's Bugs Bunny.
Or the Jack Benny show.
It says here that you do imitations, is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do animals, all kinds of things.
Mel even had his own show.
Starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Good evening, folks.
Mel Blanc was a household name. For decades, he voiced many of the Looney Tunes while also doing bit parts for Hanna-Barbera. Here he is as George Jetson's boss, Cosmo Spacely.
Jetson, I thought I fired you. Now get out!
He also did the barks for Fred Flintstone's pet dinosaur, Dino. And he was even the voice of Barney Rubble.
Now I know how it feels to be hatched.
All in all, Mel created over 400 voices. As far as we know, there is no person on Earth who can voice all the characters of Mel Blanc. It was a unique combination of factors that all came together to create his unparalleled talent. We'll unravel the mystery of what made Mel not just one of the greatest voice actors in history, but one of the greatest actors, period. After this.
That was the first half of a two-part series on Mel Blanc from 20,000 Hertz. You must hear part two because it's absolutely magical. So search for and follow 20,000 Hertz right now while you've got your podcast player open. Then scroll down to the episode That's All, Folks. It's episode 93 from April 2020. And then enjoy the many, many, many other episodes of 20,000 Hertz, all telling fascinating stories about sound, from the history of the Windows startup sound to secret spy messages on the radio. Be sure to find and follow 20,000 Hertz.